The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 6, and it can be found on page 746 or in the large print Bibles on page 1328. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look radiant. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and will swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you, to the riches of the nations. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel can be found on page 966 in the Church Bibles or page 1710 in the large print version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 to 12.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
as we stand a prayer. Gracious Lord, help us individually, corporately, to come this morning to the brightness of your dawn. We ask this in the saving name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Matthew chapter 2, familiar, but do keep it open before you. What do Margaret Thatcher, Brussels sprouts, Jesus Christ, and Marmite have in common? You are sharp. Yes, the 8 o'clock was it. That's exactly right. There's two reactions. Marmite produces a love it or hate it reaction, as does Jesus Christ. There were two reactions to the infant Jesus. One was a reverent awe, and the other was war, wanting to see that baby as the enemy. In our Bible reading, the main focus is not on the wise men or Herod or Mary, but on Jesus Christ. And the whole of Matthew's gospel is telling us that Jesus is the rightful heir to King David's throne. He had a miraculous birth because he was Messiah. And that theme of Jesus as king continues right through Matthew's gospel. So Matthew 2 verse 2, the Magi ask, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. The king of the Jews. That same thing was said about him 33 years later when a sign was put behind Jesus as he was nailed onto the cross. This is Jesus, the king of the Jews. Well, wise men were spot on. They realized that Jesus was not one born to become a king, as most would-be monarchs are. No, he always was the king, even as he lay helpless in a manger. There's a great book, which I hope you've read. It's called 1066 and All That. Anybody read that? There are a few hands going up. It's great fun to read. It's a memorable history of England, comprising all the things you can remember, including 103 good things, 5 bad kings, and 2 genuine dates. And to use the language of 1066 and All That, this Jesus is a good thing, most definitely. He is, verse 6, a ruler who shepherds his people with care and love and tenderness. He's a ruler. He's born in Bethlehem, David's royal city, 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And 3 times in verses 5 to 8, Bethlehem is mentioned. You can imagine what happened. The Magi turn up and the religious leaders dust off their Old Testament. They open the prophet Micah, who's been lost in cobwebs. And then the chief priests and the teachers of the law say to Herod that in Micah it says God's king will be born in David's royal city, in Bethlehem. So Jesus born in Bethlehem is a rightful heir to David's throne, and as such he deserves royal honour. And in Matthew 2, he receives it from those who came, those men from the east. It shows us Jesus not simply king of the Jews, but king of the world, king of all nations. Later on, at the end of Matthew, Jesus says about himself, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. If it's all authority, it doesn't leave a lot left. Here was the king. It all belongs to Jesus. If you meet with Hindus, they often misunderstand the importance of Jesus because they think that Christianity is a Western religion. But actually, Jesus was born in the Middle East. And to get ourselves in proper perspective, the gospel went to India before it came to Europe. Among the first to worship the infant Jesus were these men from the East, the shepherd and king of Israel had come for the whole world. And that brings two responses, either awe or wanting to fight him, awe or war. And the same responses are repeated throughout world history today. And even as you leave to church this morning, you may be somebody who leaves worshipping in awe, or you may actually see Jesus as an enemy to your own small ambitions. So first, there are those who were in awe of Jesus. These wise men came from the East. We can't be entirely sure who they were. Magi is originally a Persian word, but they could equally have come from Arabia or Iraq. We can't be entirely sure how they are guided. Certainly verses 2 and 9 mentions a star, but it could be a planetary conjunction, a supernova, a comet, or something unique. It doesn't matter too much what it was. The maker and controller of the universe uses it to guide them to Bethlehem. What we can be sure of is why they made this 40-day, 800-mile journey to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Verse 2, they've come to worship and fall down before him. They're full of awe. We're told, verse 10, they were overjoyed. Baby is now not in a stable, but probably a small house, a few months old. And these visitors fall down and worship. I don't think we understand the culture very well, because it's a remarkable scene for grown men to come and kneel and give gifts. Gifts being given in that culture are a sign of submission and allegiance. It was just as the Old Testament said again and again. Psalm 72, verse 11. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. Isaiah 60, verse 3. Nations will come to your light, and kings the brightness of your dawn. Do you see what's going on in Matthew 2? They stand in awe of this baby. I love the story about Lord Hailsham. He came out of the Lord's chamber and he was dressed up in all his ornate robes, his scarlet, his gold, and his ceremonial wig. It was lunch, and he suddenly saw, as he came out, a friend of his in the lobby who was an MP. And Hailsham called out, "Neil!" And a group of American tourists knelt down. But the question is, are you kneeling before Jesus? Are you kneeling with the wise men and countless others down the centuries and around the world? You see, they worshipped in awe. They didn't find that baby someone who was boring. No, here was the great king, not just of the Jews, but of all people. They brought treasure. And any sense in our lives of Christ being king in 2020 will at times, for us, be costly. there are those who were first in awe of King Jesus. And then some hard truths. They were also second, those who were at war with Jesus. I think it's probably today, I was trying to work it out, I think there's about 16 million children who this last year have been born in a war zone. And yes, here was Jesus from the very first day. It was a war zone. There's active hostility, and there was also passive apathy. Active hostility. Herod the King the Great, as he's come to be known, well, we're told that he was somebody who was a puppet king, and the Jews never felt secure with him, and he didn't feel secure with the Jewish nation surrounding him. He was a bloodthirsty tyrant. He killed his own wife. He murdered two of his sons. The Emperor Augustus once joked, saying this, "You're safer to be Herod's sow, Herod's pig, than his son." Now, pigs, of course, weren't popular in Israel. But if you got in Herod's way, what he was saying, you're better off as a pig than a person. We're told in Matthew 2, Herod was troubled when he heard about a king being born. That's our reaction sometimes when Jesus Christ threatens our autonomy. And he says, "I'm coming to worship this baby. I want to come as well." But no, his intention was to destroy that child, as he did to the little boys in Bethlehem. But not just that active hostility. There's that passive apathy as well, spoken of in verses 3 to 5. The chief priests and teachers of the law, the religious experts, give the correct answers, but didn't care less. Augustine, a great church father, says about them, I quote, "They were like milestones. They pointed something out to the travellers, but themselves remained motionless and stolid." They can't even be bothered to travel 5 miles south from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see if there's any truth in what was being said. And the same indifference and apathy continues today. Don't be apathetic about Jesus. You need to take him seriously. When you leave church today, you either leave as somebody acknowledging or certainly seeking to see if Jesus is king, or you leave totally apathetic. John 1, verse 11. "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Friends, it matters as we begin 2020 a great deal what you do with Jesus Christ, not what you feel about Brussels sprouts. Amen.